CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. You are up and at 'em this Thursday morning. Pumimashiko is in the studio in Johannesburg. I am in my studio, and we are cracking with a beautiful day ahead of us and lots of things to talk about. We've got the burning platform a little bit later on. Canton Pillay will be joining us, which he does. It's now almost like, what is it, a bi-weekly thing with Canton?
I don't know what it is that kind of changes for him that allows him to come and join us, but whatever it is,
we like it.
We like it a lot. As always, the phone lines are open. We will give you that number in a moment. You can call us anytime you want. It is your show, so you get to decide what we talk about. We've got a couple of things we want to get off our chests, but we'll get to that a little bit later on. And in the burning platform a bit later, we'll also be joined by Helen Ziller, who we haven't spoken to in ages. Someone brought her up the other day and said, oh, well, we need to hear from Helen on this or that, or how come Helen's still in charge of the DA and all of this stuff? So we thought, well, let's ask her. She is still the chairperson of the Federal Council of the DA and the former executive mayor of Cape Town, of course. And then
come the elections again on the 1st and 2nd of April, she will be standing one more time.
There we go. And you know what? It seems like the old people have it in this country. I mean, I don't think there are a lot of people in the cabinet who are younger than, I don't know, 55. Are there?
I think there's three.
I mean, now
Ronald Lamola,
now that Fikile is out because he's
Chabeni.
Right. So it's
and Stella Ndabeni.
Is Stella Ndabeni Abrams young still? Well, so at least there's three. But the rest of the people in charge of this country are all in their 70s. Which is fine. I mean, you get some wise 70-year-olds and you get some old 70-year-olds. So it depends.
I think we got all the old 70-year-olds.
Oh, my God. All right. Listen, we also got Dr. Mark, who's going to be joining us today. Of course, Dr. Mark is the host of the Tea Clinic's Tea Health Show, and he runs the Tea Clinic. We're going to talk a little bit today about something I think is quite useful, especially for all of us as we get older. You know, he doesn't just deal with men at the Tea Clinic. They do all kinds of very interesting shows. And one of the things he wants to talk about is weight loss and weight management. You know, we all talk about our metabolisms. And if there's anything that has gotten more difficult as I've got older, it's maintaining weight. I've been okay at it. But there have been some pictures I've seen of myself because, of course, now the ubiquitous cell phone camera is everywhere. You see some pictures of yourself and you're like, oh, Jesus, look at that double chin. Mm-hmm.
This waddle area here.
Right. Yeah. So we'll ask Dr. Mark about that.
It's the waddle area and the middle area.
The middle area.
You can't see my middle area. It's a bit wobbly.
The, what do they call them? The love handles or the, the overhang, the muffin tops. You can call them whatever you like.
But just that middle area. That middle.
So how are you, Pums?
Baby, I'm good. You know, it feels like it's been a long week because we had a wobbly in the first part of the week. So it's weird. I hate these long weekends that like start on a Monday and Tuesday because then you don't know. Is Wednesday Monday? Is it not? I saw somebody, one of my friends, actually posted on her Facebook yesterday morning saying happy Monday all. And I was like,
it's very confusing. Monday. I mean, I hate to bang on the old drum again. And you know, our audience love giving me shit here, but I don't know why they don't just put whichever is the closest day to the public holiday. Just give us that Friday every time there is one.
A friend of mine was telling me about some countries in Europe that do that, that just have these commemorative days aren't on a date. They're on the first Monday of March, no matter what the date is, or the third or whatever. You know, it's just a set day and not necessarily a set date. And so it's always orderly. Order.
Well, you know, it just seems sensible to me. And of course, our government is not sensible, so we can't expect too much from them, but it would just clean things up a little bit. Those Tuesday public holidays, and you know, it's just such a dumb waste of time. We were at work on Monday. I mean, we did our show on Monday morning, and a lot of people went to work, business as usual. I have to give you credit. You said it was going to be a nothing, and it was a nothing. So congrats to you again. Pumi's predictive powers come through strong.
I was, you know, my office is in Rosebank. So we were at the office and I went for a walk in the mall, and it was like a Saturday. Like the shops were open. People were walking around the mall. Except yeah. Monday was also the watershed day, isn't it? For South Africa's kind of how far can, fake news be here in South Africa? We thought we'd reached the pinnacle with the day couplets, right? But no.
No. There was a lot of fake news going around on Monday. And okay, this blows my mind. And I spoke about this very briefly on Monday. But, you know, my mother sent me a thing on Friday last week. Like, oh, there are these burning tires on this road. Now, I mean, she didn't know any better than I did, but I forwarded it to a friend of mine who lives in Midrand. I was like, just be careful, you know, this might be near you. So he WhatsApps me immediately afterwards. He's like, fake news. I was just on that road. There's nothing going on there. These pictures are from the riots of 22. So I was like, oh God, how embarrassing. So I then I said to my mom, like, why are you sending me fake news? And she didn't
know. Why would she know you?
No, but here's the problem, right? At the beginning of that chain, there is a fucking idiot who makes that stuff up knowing that it's nonsense. That person is the problem. I mean, obviously everybody else, they're just doing it out of concern. I mean, I don't think anyone is passing this stuff on because they want to cause drama. I think if you know it's fake, you don't share it, right? I mean, that's...
If you can see it's fake, you know...
Sure. So,
but some things... And like, this is the thing about any lie. It just needs a grain of truth.
Correct.
Just a grain of truth. And then it throws everybody off, like the plausibility of it. But I think Monday we woke up. So first it was all the story about the tires being confiscated all over, right? Mm. All the tires that are being placed ready for burning on the Monday. And I was like,
And wasn't it, it was Becky Taylor who said, we have confiscated 24,500 tires. And he said,
I think that was yesterday.
And he said, most of them in the Eastern, don't know what's going on there, but the Eastern Cape, most of them.
I think he said that yesterday, but the first time I saw the confiscated tires was coming out of the Western Cape, was coming out of Cape Town, actually. Mm-hmm. The first time I saw the news about confiscated tires, and then Danta Lux also tweeting about also tweeting about confiscated tires. And that's like the numbers were, I was saying to somebody in my car, actually we were driving, that in my car, and I have a little kind of SUV car, I couldn't fit four. I couldn't fit the tires that are on my car inside my car. So like to confiscate 20,000 tires, my goodness, what are you driving around in?
Well, I mean, we also spoke about this a little bit. Why have we got so many tires lying around? Like, I know this is a thing. I remember from the days of, the protests in the 70s and 80s, the burning tires was like a thing because they're flammable, they're easy to find, they can cause an enormous amount of smoke. So it's a noisy, busy, shitty thing. And of course, people used to be necklaced, so it's become a symbol of some of that stuff. But like, I don't know anywhere else in the world where tires are specifically as much of a protest symbol as they are here. Or
so
am I
you
wrong?
Know what I wondered about in the township, certainly in my township in Soweto, there are quite a lot of small businesses that are situated on the side of the road in strategic places around the township that sell retreaded tires, right? Hmm. So, and I wondered if it's not those people too. And because what they have is they'll have like a stack of tires and they're on main roads and they're like off the side of the road. It's not like in a shack or in that kind of thing. So I wondered if those people became victims of this as well, because what do they have? What do they have to say that this is my little business? They don't have, it's an informal business. They don't have some kind of paperwork that says, no, these tires are for sale or whatever. So I wondered about that.
Well, Mapelo says quite rightly, Julius would disagree with you. The country was shut down in his head because South Africans listened to him. I mean, this is the other thing, right? Is that you could see that the generally across the country, the protests were very, very small. There was a reasonable sized march in Pretoria. There were a few people in Cape Town. There were a few people in Joburg, a few people in Durban, but it wasn't big. It wasn't on a scale that they would have. I mean, in all seriousness, I think they were very much hoping for a big impact. They were hoping for a really big statement. And there's no way you can argue that happened.
This is a conversation happening in lots of places this week now, after Monday, right? What has been achieved? I mean, yesterday at the vote of no confidence, Julius stood up in City Hall to say that he's got everybody by the scrotum. Did you not see that?
No. Jesus. That's fantastic.
This was his big speech. That is, I'm in charge. I've got you all by the scrotum. And that whether you are the black opposition parties or you are the white opposition party, whether you are the ruling party, he's in charge. He's in charge. And when he said the country was shut down, the country shut down. He got people out in the streets. But it's important to kind of understand what do you think he wanted to achieve? And did he achieve that? I mean, we're talking about him for the past 2 weeks. Well, everybody's been talking about Julius and they are shut down. The DA went to court to try and, stop them or enforce them. You know what I'm saying? Like, Fikile Mbalula called a press conference yesterday about them. What did he achieve? I think he achieved what he set out to achieve. No, I don't think he necessarily, so it would have been a big win if he had achieved a big shutdown and everybody stayed home or whatever, but he has won because one, he has proven that he can command the media and get everybody talking around what he wants. I think secondly, what he wanted to do was he wanted to show that he can mobilize around, because think about it, why is he doing this? He's a 10% party. And so what he's wanting to show is the muscle that as a 10% party, he's a good, if he's looking at the ANC and this is what everybody's been talking about, his strategy is he's saying, look at the numbers I can still pull, not just in Pretoria, but all over the country. I am a good partner for you to get a majority. If you fall below 50%, I am the partner that you want to be able to.
All right. But it's easy to get people to talk about you. And we've seen, I mean, you even brought up the fake news in Tlantla Lux. Look at how he gets people to talk about him. And commanding the media is hardly, you don't need to be some evil Bond, villain with a cat on your lap and a fortune of billions to be able to command the media. All you have to do is say, look over there, and then point to someone who's on fire or something. And then the media will immediately shift all their cameras and attention to that. Also, social media has been proven to be completely useless because what I feel like Monday showed is that most of what you read on Twitter is not what's really going on in people's worlds. And in this country, Twitter is a tiny, tiny sliver of what's actually happened. If you were on Twitter, you'd think, oh my God, the country has come to a standstill. Everybody's talking about this is all anyone can talk about. It's just not true. The numbers, actions do speak louder than words. And I think people believe what they see. And seeing these tiny little groups of EFF people, which you could count on one hand in some places, it just made them look kind of sad.
I think he achieved what he set out to achieve. International media was looking at him. You know, everybody is, and this is what you want. So he has now effectively launched his road to 2024. And what remains to be seen is whether he can convert that into votes. But if he's looking to make himself look attractive to the ANC as a partner going into a coalition government that everybody is talking about, he's also achieved that.
All right. Well, then I suppose, you know, maybe if that's all you, if you want attention, if that is if that's the baseline for considering something successful, well then, yeah, fine. You can have it. Success. All right. Well, a few things that we want to get into before we start properly into the politics a little bit later on in the Burning Platform. You wanted to just talk about the joy of supporting small businesses.
Do you see my gray hair? Do you see my green hair?
Green. Yes, green, not gray.
I did think about gray, but the green one.
We're not going to talk about green hair. We'll talk about gray hair.
You all know this. I am a big fan of supporting local business. And on Sunday, my little niece set up a hair appointment for me at this amazing, amazing salon. And when I was there, I was just reminded about how absolutely amazing South Africans are, and tenacious, and really out to this. In the hair salon, I also spoke to them about, in Soweto, in Pimville, that's where the hair salon is. I spoke to them about the shutdown. We spoke about the shutdown. It was busy. It was a Sunday. People are busy. Sunday is a big hair day because you're getting ready for the week ahead. And none of them were talking about the shutdown. They were all just, you know, getting ready for a week, going to work. The lady that owns the hair salon was very vibrant, very, very vibrant and vibey and very excited about the week. Also kind of going, I'm not going. She said something very funny, that most of the people that are going to show up for the protest are showing up for the meat. Like, because, you know, one of the things that the AFF used to do, like when they have stadiums or whatever, they would slaughter and they'd have big, like a big bride, basically. You know, it's like they'll be going there for the meat. So I don't know if they had meat this past Monday, but it's so nice, guys. It's so nice. And I hope more people, if you can find a small local business to support, do it, because it's so fantastic to be with the person that is actually making it happen, and how hopeful they are. So we also see a lot of, like, the negative stuff, all of the crappy stuff. We're looking at the indicators. Sure. Yesterday, everybody's talking about food inflation, all of that kind of stuff. But in the, you know, away from the cameras, there are some amazing people doing some amazing things. And so it was very exciting for me to get my, and she had lots of different kind of, like, hair fiber, like pink and gray and green and yellow and blonde. Amazing. Very amazing. Very cool. And it just reminded me how much fun it actually is to support one small business, because it makes a very big difference to that one person's life. It's very cool.
Well, Rachel says, you look very pretty, Pumi, but with that color hair, you should probably be asked your pronouns before we get into any trouble.
Listen, I had a presentation in a big blue chip company yesterday, and I could tell that they were a little bit not sure. They weren't sure about the substance of what's coming their way, but yeah, it was a great presentation. But the green hair definitely does that. It's cool, man. Green hair.
Well, I mean, it's certainly like it definitely makes you look very trendy and young and wicked.
And you know, everybody, I mean, in the hood, a lot of people call me Di Mamzo, because I'm in that age group.
Right. So
even the hairdresser was a little bit like, oh, sure, the mums.
just double checking. Yeah.
It's the crash kids that have the, like, the green and the purple and the pink hair. It's like, yeah, I'm sure. Like, oh, seven's up, the mums. like at work? Are they gonna like?
Are they gonna approve of this? And you're like, no. I run my own business, so I think I'll be okay.
Like, that's the joy of being Dimamzo. People are generally, you know, you do what you want.
So speaking of these things which are plaguing us, like the fact that you get older every day, and obviously this is the youngest you'll ever be again. I was talking to a friend of mine just 2 weeks ago. He was telling me about all these supplements that he's on. And you know, there's the lion's mane mushroom and alpha
DHT. The what? Wait, the what? Mushroom.
No, lion mane mushroom. Lion's mane mushroom.
Yeah, like hair.
No, man, it's a tablet. It's a pill.
For hair.
No, it's supposed to be very good. No, it's good for cognition. It's like a nootropic. It's not to give you a lion's mane.
With that name, you could have fooled me.
So, I mean, this is something I want to ask Dr. Mark a little bit later on, but I'm now on like a handful of supplements. So omega 3s and 6s and there's stuff like there's a fat burner. There's a whole bunch of shit that I'm on.
Fat burner.
I swear to God, every morning I'm taking like a handful. Yeah, take a look at this. This is my little pill thing. You see that. But there's a bunch of pills in here.
I see the omega one.
Yeah, so those are the ones that so this is what I take every day. And I don't know whether they're working or not, but I'm feeling okay. I don't think I look too terrible. We'll see if it pays off. I mean, it's not gonna reverse aging, but I think there's some things you can do, right? So, or do you think they're all rubbish? Do you think it's all a waste of money?
So Gareth, you are now a Butuadi Pilisi. You are the uncle on the pills. Because that's what all the old uncles
am I wasting my money is the point. Because a lot of people say this is just an expensive waste of money.
Maybe very expensive urine, depending on what it is. Yeah, like I think you have to do lots of reading. Because, you know, all these supplements, like the one supplement helps you absorb the other thing, the D's, the V's, all of those kinds of things. So maybe, yeah, how did you decide what you were taking? Did you talk to someone or did you just like a professional or did you just listen to your friends?
I went to the aisle in Dis-Chem with the supplements and I pretty much chose the ones that I thought were the most useful. No, waste of time.
No, I think you need to consult someone. Like you need to consult either a homeopath or a specialist GP, you know, because you kind of need to figure out what is it that you are lacking that you need to add. You probably would find that by just drinking water and eating right, you'll probably do all of the things. Like, you know, if you ate more fleshy fish, if you drank more water, if you ate less red meat, all that nonsense, you'll get all of the stuff that you need.
Steve says, wow, they're massive pills. Are they taken orally or are they suppository? No, they orally take. Like Carl says, Gareth, you must get your money back for the fat burner, you fat bastard. Mapelo says, I only see Viagra there.
Let me see. I did not see a blue pill. No, but you should. So I think if you're going to do it, then you have to do it right. Do the blood tests, do all of those things and then get whatever it is that's missing. Otherwise, that's just very expensive pee you've got in that cup.
Just say it. You're an idiot, Gareth. Just say it. That's fine. I mean, you know, it was Prof Harry Seftel in the old days when he was the main guy who used to comment on talk radio and on television. Professor Harry Seftel, he says, the only thing that if you buy vitamins, all you're going to do is have very expensive urine, which is exactly
you
what
see.
You see. There we go.
Although I must say, this is the one thing that I do. Sometimes when also exercise. That's the other thing. If you do that, drink water, exercise, eat right, you'll be fine.
Well, I mean, Mash Mashinini says the same thing. I believe in 3 to 6 days of exercise and eating right the majority of the time, that is sustainable. There's no way you'll be on fat burners and lion's tablets when you're 50. Save your money, G. Okay, thank you so much.
Although you do need some tablets, I think. You like, I have lots of B multi vitamin, right? Because like, you need the energy, you need the synapses. Because as you get older, your memory is going. But also the other thing that helps with memory and cognitive is reading out loud, Gareth.
Reading out loud, is that what helps your brain?
Mm-hmm. It keeps the connections. It keeps the connections vibrant. I read years ago one of these medical journals, I think a Stanford one, about mm-hmm. Just reading and reading out loud in particular, because of the parts of the brain that it exercises. Also, as you get older, you don't do that kind of stuff, right? We don't make the time. We don't make the time for reading. There's so much more competing interests that part of the brain kind of stops working in the way that it does. It should.
Well, yeah, okay. Look, I don't know, because there are some things that people tell me about Sudoku and about what are those other number games and things and crosswords, and people tell you all of that stuff is good for you. I mean, I heard a horrible story the other day about someone who, you know, I've always thought was really smart. No, look, he's in his 80s or whatever, but he's no longer like making sense. He's a bit demented and can't really figure out what's going on. And, you know, there's no filter anymore. So he just starts talking absolute shit in front of people, and it's kind of embarrassing for the family or whatever. And you think, well, you know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. First of all, there's probably nothing you could do about it. So you just have to be fatalistic about it and go, okay, well, you know, then there's no stopping it at all. But there are probably things you should be taking. I mean, I know a lot of people think that these futurists and these people who've written books like Ray Kurzweil, he takes like a tray full of pills every day. And a lot of them are nootropics. And listen, Ray Kurzweil is a pretty impressive guy. He's the one who believes that, you know, the singularity is coming. We're going to reach a point where machines are thinking faster and better than people are. He predicted AI. He's predicted a bunch of things. And by the way, I see in the news this morning, Bill Gates, who, you know, is not everybody's favorite person at the moment, but he says AI is the most important tech advance in decades. So in an interview that he gave on Tuesday, he called it as fundamental as the creation of the microprocessor, the personal computer, and the internet, as well as the mobile phone. He says it will change the way people work, learn, travel, get healthcare, and communicate with each other. He was writing about the technology used by tools such as chatbot ChatGPT, developed by OpenAI. He says this is one of the most important things to come along. So, I mean, whether you like Bill Gates or not, you've got to admit this is his area of expertise. I think he's probably right. Something that Kurzweil said, he reckoned what you have to do is try and stay as optimally fit, healthy, and attentive. Like, you have to actually pay attention to the world around you, which is something I try to do. I try to exercise 4 to 5 times a week. I try to eat reasonably well, although I can't always say I follow that. And just be ready so that when medical science comes along with something amazing, you are in the best possible condition to either stay at that age or stay in that condition, or even to reverse it if possible. I mean, no one's going to last forever, but it's worth trying to be as healthy
thank
as you
goodness.
Possibly. Yeah.
Thank goodness, well, we're not going to last forever. You know, because there are two things that I absolutely love about getting older. The first one being the no filter thing, right? As you get older, people just like accept it either as wisdom or chalk it up to what you were saying about the person that you know, or chalk it up to dementia, like old age dementia. But the no filter thing is so freeing. You can just tell people off.
No, for sure. Just while we're telling people off, Juliana wants to know, she's just come from the app to YouTube so she can ask for an update on the dodgy neighbor who disappeared. Remember, okay, so remind people, because this is now a couple of months ago. So obviously Juliana's she's a stalwart. And Juliana, we love questions like this. This is from the people who are really paying attention.
So the guy is still gone. There is now, there is still a gaping hole. So for people who don't know the story, we had a new neighbor in the complex that I live in. There's still a couple of stands that need to be built on because we all bought, and then the crash, you know, the 2008 economic crash came. So lots of people who'd bought stands couldn't build houses. And then as, you know, as the economy was changing, people started building houses. A couple of months, a year now, maybe in the lockdown, in kind of 2020 lockdown.
Right.
A stand was bought by a new person. I've never seen this person. Some people have. There's been, there was a lot of ruckus around this person. But he came, and we live on a slope. I live in Northcliffe, so we have a slope, which means that there's a lot of work, pre-work that has to be done, either in leveling up your stand or whatever you decide you're going to build has got to be able to live on a slope. This guy came, bought this place, and then got a TLB in and started excavating.
Right.
excavating to level his stand, I suppose, in preparation for building. But I don't think he did the right kind of consultations. And the, obviously, the community WhatsApp group went apeshit. People trying to stop him, people, and then it started raining. Heavy rains, and he's on the side, he's on a stand that, that is next to the perimeter wall of a higher complex just above us. And that whole wall came crashing down. There's a gaping hole there now. And
so it's,
and then
it's,
he disappeared. I
mean, and that's a security risk for the whole complex, obviously, because people can come in suddenly.
And we have had incidences. We have now had incidences of people coming in. But there's also an issue now with drainage, because without the retaining wall, there's now a drainage issue with the complex. And then the guy has disappeared. And this is after when he was initially kind of engaged about this. He also threatened to get the EFF. He was like, he knows people in the EFF. Which was very funny because most of the people in our complex are black, so we're not scared of the EFF. we're not.
That's so great.
We're not. Is that what kind of scariness? But so the dodgy neighbor is still gone. There is still a gaping hole. There is now weeds. Obviously, the weeds are now growing in that open space. It's a mess. Guys, it's a mess. I still don't know who he is because somebody said to me that he's actually a famous person. I still don't know which famous person he is. I asked one of the neighbors to tell me what show he's on. Tell me what TV show I have to look out for. Just send me a picture. He still hasn't sent it. It's a mess. It's a mess, guys.
All right. Well, Michael John says, Gareth, you need to listen to Joe Rogan's podcast with Andrew Huberman. They claim to be reversing aging in mice. I'd love to get your take on it. Well, I will do that. It's my homework then. I'll make sure I pay attention there. Hey, Pumi, if they could reverse aging, you're telling me you wouldn't do it? Come on.
No, we have had this conversation about being like younger, but having all the knowledge that you have now. I'd just be grumpy. No, come on. The things I know now, I'm quite okay with the fact that there's more time behind me than ahead of me. I'm okay with that.
You reckon?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Okay. It's a shit show. It's a shit show, and we're just trying to make this piece of earth that we're on and this time that we're in as amazing as it can be. But would I want to, like, stretch that out? No.
DK says, mountain biking, enduro, MX and road motorcycling keep your reflexes in top condition. Also great exercise. Yeah, I mean, also very dangerous in South Africa because people don't really think bike. And
No.
Especially the road stuff. I mean,
Gareth?
If you're in mountain biking, no.
I was not going to bring this up. Driving here this morning, you know, it's much darker now. And driving here this morning, I drive past lots of people running and cycling. And after all those stickers telling all the people to think bike, I think it's time we got cyclists to get like fucking think car.
No, I agree.
People are wilding on the road and it's dark and they're wearing dark clothes and they like, no, it's they must also think car.
Listen, I'm on your side. I have never stood up for the cyclists, except for this morning. I thought it was a good thing to mention that if you're going to take up this dumb hobby, there is a danger involved in it. But I totally agree with you. Like the, and some of them are riding like three abreast on the road. They're taking
it's
up
the ridiculous. Whole
thing. It is ridiculous. I'm not going to go back down the street because I know I know the territory well, and I'm with you.
I was very annoyed this morning driving in here, just coming down this main road here on Oxford. Just as I was about to turn into, there was a group of about maybe 10 cyclists hurtling down the road. Fucking idiots. Think car. Mm-hmm. That's what they must do. Think car. Go.
Well, people are agreeing with you. Annette, Derek, Steve, they all say, all of this is hugely correct, that you don't think bike, they must think car. Road bicycles are a problem. Mountain bikers are different. I agree with that too. I mean, I've got this one friend. He and his girlfriend are always on their bikes. They ride around. They do these off-road things. And I mean, listen, the two of them are very fit. They seem to be very happy with this hobby of theirs. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but yes.
Even the mountain bikers, I have a mountain bike and I sometimes ride in the park here in the botanical gardens. Mm-hmm. Those people, listen, people are rude. People are mm-hmm. selfish. There are people walking and people cycling and they will bloody run you over. Listen, people on bikes and I'm a very slow biker. I'm a very slow biker. I sometimes ride my bike in the park, but yay, people are reckless out there.
Well,
reckless.
Mike says, I don't want to live a day over 65, 70 because I want to die still looking good, completely super fit. Yeah, if they could reverse aging, I'd take that. Yeah, me too. There you go.
I love the fact that you think at 70 you'd still be good looking.
Slippery Pickle says, you stop playing with toys when you become an adult. Buy a car. There we go. All right, well, we're going to talk to Dr. Mark in a second.
Fellow cycles, biggest pricks with no respect for the road.
Yeah, here we go. There he is. Michael says, I'm an avid cyclist. My fellow cyclists are biggest pricks when it comes to respect for the road. I'm often embarrassed for us. Okay. Now, I did want to show this. You mentioned fake news earlier, Pums, and this is a picture from Monday of some fake news. You know, they've been talking about, I love the way people all over the world who have no idea how the real world works got super excited about Vladimir Putin being charged by the International Criminal Court and by Donald Trump supposedly being arrested. So here's the picture.
I love these.
Of Donald Trump being perp walked, which of course is total fake news, but there was such hype about this, mostly from Donald Trump, it has to be said. He was wondering, they're going to arrest me. They're going to put me in jail. It's going to be terrible. They're doing this because it's actually about you. It's not about me. They're doing it to me because I'm in the way. That kind of thing. So a lot of people were extra excited about something that was never going to happen.
He started it. And very much like Julius, he had a very specific goal. And do you know what his goal was? Do you know how much money he has raised in the past 3 days for his campaign? Just from this kind of the idea that Donald Trump could be arrested because, as he says, to stop him from running for president, to stop him from kind of making America great again. Do you know how much money he's raised? It's unbelievable. Like, and this is AI generated. These images are AI generated.
Right. So this is not actually, this is not even like Photoshopped. It's AI generated. There was one where he's walking and Joe Biden is walking next to him with his sunglasses on, like he's just done the arrest himself. I mean, it's unbelievable.
There's one where the police just after the one where he's running, the police have grabbed him. Melania is shouting and screaming. It's like,
wow.
And he's being held down because he's, you know, fighting. It's insane.
It does strike me as odd though, that there's so many people who fall for this stuff, because I do think it's ridiculous for people who are massive Trump supporters and are, you know, worried about this stuff, because what are the chances? First of all, it's the New York Attorney General, and Trump hardly spends any time in New York. He's being charged with a misdemeanor. It's still around that Stormy Daniels thing, which is such a non-story. And if you are prepared to arrest your political opponents, which is what the Attorney General in New York is trying to do here, it doesn't speak well of, you know, the people who say, oh, well, this is just a political, it is a purely political move. I mean, the Stormy Daniels thing is not a felony. It's a misdemeanor, and it's ridiculous. And I do think that this has given Donald Trump and his supporters an enormous amount of oxygen. People weren't paying attention to him until now.
What always fascinates me about America and the legal system. So first of all, in America, when they are out to get you, they will get you.
Yes.
And they are, because of the way that the system works, the Attorney General actually has quite a lot of leeway. And they're not above, and this is a story that I found fascinating when they eventually broke the mafia. And this was,
Al Capone.
And again, you know, you talk about misdemeanors, is because they couldn't build a case around what they really wanted to catch him for. They consulted with the legal professor in one of the Ivy League universities. And they built a case around something smaller, but something that they could convict him on.
Right.
And that essentially like got him off the streets for them. Right. And it's one of the things that I'm always fascinated by, watching our NPA bumbling about and fucking up all sorts of like really important cases, which I think would go a long way in terms of making the South African public begin to feel like something is being done about corruption and all those people who have benefited from corruption. Is that they're just not being smart about the way that they're building the cases and getting people in orange overalls. In America, they will fucking arrest you. You can be 60, 70, Bernie Madoff. You will die in prison if they want you. You know, if you fuck with their systems.
Don't mess with the law.
You will die in prison. I mean,
but it's not a good look when
they put Martha Stewart in prison.
No, but what I'm talking about here, this is political. Sure, those are famous people and everything, and I get it. And I know what you're saying is they can concoct charges and they'll see them through. But in this case, it's not a great look for a Democrat attorney general to be actively looking for ways to lock up the presidential candidate presidential candidate for the next election. The former president, this does not look good. It's a very ill-advised move because it's going to make him more popular. You know, the people who hate him are not going to change their opinion. The people who love him are not going to change their opinion. But the people in the middle, there may be a few of them who go, actually, you know, I don't love Donald Trump and I don't love the Democrats, but this kind of behavior is not how people behave in a democracy. This is not what the law should be used for. Anyway. All right. Have we got Dr. Mark? Let me see if he's there and he's ready for us.
Oh, yeah, Ryan was Dr. Mark. In here and on the phone. So, yay.
Morning, guys.
Morning. How are you?
I love your glasses.
You know what? I try. I don't have a sparkling personality, so I'm trying with the glasses.
Nonsense. All right, so Dr. Mark, we don't want to waste any time with you. I want to go straight into it because Pumi was laughing at me and mocking me earlier because I take a whole bunch of supplements every morning. So I've got a bunch of things here, omega-3s. And am I a stupid idiot who's wasting my money? Or are there some of these that you would recommend to your patients?
Gareth, I'm going to ask you a simple question. What was your first car?
It was a City Golf.
Okay, what are you driving now?
I don't own a car at the moment, but thanks to Phil Kutzer at DeWitt Motors, I'm driving a Mercedes at the moment, which is much better than my City Golf.
What's the difference between the two cars other than just the cost?
Well, I mean, everything, Doc. This car is
everything. When it comes to supplementation, think of the same principle. It's all about the technology. So the problem that we have today is if you walk into any of your retail pharmacies or into any of your health stores, or even just into Clicks or Pick and Pay, there's one big aisle allocated to supplementation.
Yes.
The problem is that if you take any of those just willy-nilly, you really do not know what you're taking. And when it comes to supplementation, that's the problem. Everything that is on the bottle will be found in some form or another in the actual tablet. But whether you're absorbing it, whether it's in the right quantity, that becomes an issue. So all of us need supplementation in one form or another. It's whether we actually get something that works.
Okay, so, I mean, basically, this is what Pumi was saying, more or less the same. I hate to give Pumi all
the credit. Dr. Mark, do you need a nurse there in your clinic?
No, I think there's one needed at the studios.
And she pretty much said exactly the same thing and then said to me, well, you've got to go for blood tests. You've got to do it properly if you want to do this. You got to figure out where you have things. And this is what you've said to me before as well, is go and do the proper tests, figure out what your system needs, figure out what you need to do, and then you can take this seriously. Otherwise, you're just wasting money. So that's pretty much it, right?
Gareth, I'm going to ask you the question, why do you think you need to take supplementation?
Well, again, this is just, it's something that came up in conversation the other day. A friend of mine said, well, I take these and these and these, and it's made me feel much, much better. But he's not a doctor, and it might work for him, but it might not work for me. Is that the correct answer?
Well, I was thinking more along the line that if we look at our diets, all of our diets are depleted in enough nutrients. We are not eating the same foods, not made the same anymore. It doesn't have the same qualities as it used to have 20 or 30 years ago. So nutritional depletion for us is a real, real problem. Now, add to that pollutants, the way we live, stress, et cetera, there is higher demand on our body's natural stores. And these get depleted, and they lead to problems in hormone systems. And this is why we supplement. If we, for instance, look at energy metabolism, where your thyroid plays a role, think of your thyroid hormones as the furnaces that's supposed to burn energy to give us electricity. So I like using Eskom because, like our energy metabolism, it's not working. So you can transport glucose from the blood to the power station, okay? And for that, you need insulin. But at the power station, the stuff actually needs to be burned to form ATP. That's what the body uses as energy.
Right.
But for that whole thing to work, you need magnesium, you need zinc, you need selenium, you need CoQ10, you need vitamin D, you need iron. So if one of those are not functioning, or if one of those are depleted, the whole system starts crashing again, like Eskom. If it's cable theft or someone somewhere doesn't have electricity. And that's the problem that we are facing today. So supplementation is crucial, but it needs to be done correctly.
I have a question about collagen, right? So there's a big fad There's a big fad. There's collagen everywhere. There's like cheap collagen, expensive collagen. There's broth collagen. There's powder collagen. Like, can't I just make a bony broth and drink
that? I thank you for saying that. Because the bone broth that you are going to make, you actually know that you're going to get collagen. The one that you buy online that comes in a powder, in a bottle or in a tub, you might as well, in some instances, take some old horse hoof and grind it up because it contains collagen. When are you going to absorb that collagen? That's the issue. Collagen goes through the gut. If you put something into your mouth, it needs to be absorbed through the gut. And collagen is not readily absorbed through the gut. I'm going to stick my neck out now and say that there are two collagens on the market. They're both liquid collagens with scientific data to prove the absorption and efficacy on various conditions, from skin to bone to wound healing to dental work to eyes to hair growth. But they have scientific studies that prove the efficacy. The stuff that you buy, you know, go and try and find any data. Again, it comes to, this is a brilliant thing to take. Just make sure that what you are taking is backed up by science and not glorified marketing.
No one talks about nutrition. We can't hear you, Gareth.
Sorry. I wanted to just quickly address the thing that you actually came on to talk to us about. And this is an area of confusion for people. Metabolism. Everybody talks about their metabolism. And, as I get older, my metabolism has got slower, so now I need to eat differently and exercise differently. And what's the truth of all of this? And Doc, have they discovered any new things about metabolism?
So if we look at metabolism, we're actually looking at all the chemical processes that happens in the body. So that's the metabolism. Mm-hmm. So it's not just your energy metabolism. It's the detoxifying. It's blood pressure. Everything that has to do with the chemical process forms part of your metabolism. So what we are finding, and this is quite frightening, weight gain and obesity in Africa is one of the fastest growing diseases, and in the World Health Organization has classified obesity as a chronic disease, and therefore it should be treated as such. So often we judge people with excessive weight and say, you know what, they really are the way they are because of what they eat or how they eat. And if they exercise a little bit more willpower, they won't be so obese. Now, actually, that's been turned around. And we can safely say that you are what you do not eliminate. And weight loss is no longer only willpower, but more a fact of biology. And here we're looking at the metabolic processes again, where you absorb food, where you transport and where you digest the food, in other words, your gut, how you transport that energy that you get from your food to the cells, and then how you use this in the cells. So here we have a couple of hormones that immediately come to mind. You have insulin that is responsible for glucose metabolism. That's something that I think you really can control with diet. Right. And then you have your thyroid. So many of our patients are presenting with hypothyroidism or underactive thyroid, or at least subclinical hyperthyroidism. And this is where on paper the thyroid looks okay, but it's not functioning because of your cofactors that you don't have. Iron metabolism plays an incredibly big role. There's a direct correlation between obesity and iron deficiency. We don't know which one is causing which. If it's the obesity that causes iron deficiency through its suppression of hormones in the liver or activation of hormones in the liver. And then, as I said, vitamin D, CoQ10, magnesium, trace elements, that's responsible for thyroid metabolism, so energy metabolism. I think Sorry, Gareth.
No, just because we're kind of out of time here already, but you've got your show, and I invite people to listen to this because you can get into more detail on Dr. Mark's show. It's the Tea Health Show. It's Dr. Mark from the Tea Clinic, and you can find out on Thursdays at 9 a.m. what's happening on the show, or you can get the podcast anytime you like. Are you going to be talking about this today?
No, actually, today our show was sponsored by Sulal, and we're talking about skincare. Sulal has a skincare range which is very affordable, very effective, and very easy to use. It's a beautiful range to start a young person on, and you know what, you can buy it at any discount. So we're talking about that range today.
Fantastic. Doc, thank you so much for being with us this morning. We will catch up with you at 9 o'clock. And what do you want to put?
Can the Sulal do something about this little...
Yeah. And I promise you need to come and see me.
This one.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Mark. Nice to see you.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Good. There's Dr. Mark. You can catch his show on Cliff Central, 9 a.m. on a Thursday. Make sure you don't miss it. Canton is ready. Pumi is ready. We got Helen Ziller popping in. It's going to be a busy morning. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com.